I'm David Teasdale with CJMQ 88.9 FM, and today I have the pleasure of talking with Jerry Cutting, who is the president of Townshippers Association. Welcome to CJMQ, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be with you again. It's a pleasure to have a chance to talk with you and Maureen.
Oh, good. So, what is new and what is on your mind?
Well, in terms of looking at the perspective of what have been some of the really big challenges that the English community has encountered in the last few months, absolutely, it is, of course, COVID. But the other one that is more specific to the English language community is what has amounted to a very big win for the community in regard to school boards. And I know that school boards may not necessarily be a big issue with a lot of your listeners who don't have kids presently in the system. But in terms of looking at constitutional rights and the protection of English institutions, recognizing that in many instances it is the school board that is the last of the English-specific institutions that are completely under the jurisdiction of the English community. This is something that I think it was a fight that had to be fought, and it was one in which I am very pleased that Townshippers was able to give its support to the Association of English School Boards and to the other groups that were also very much concerned that this was something that was absolutely essential to the winning of our constitutional right in terms of looking as we go forward with the upcoming possibility that there may be major changes made to Bill 101, which will have a direct impact on English speakers across the province. That doesn't mean that the battle for school boards is all over, but it does mean, however, that the constitutional argument is one that must be heard and cannot be dismissed out of hand. It gets kind of technical, but I think if we understand it as in very straightforward terms, is that we have won the first two rounds of our battle to save that constitutional right to manage our own school boards. And I think in terms of looking at the elections that were upcoming, the present government had said, well, we're going to go ahead with elections anyway, and that would have put tremendous pressure on the boards to be able to organize. But in many instances, I think what it came down to is that the people who were presently serving on the school boards all signaled that they wished to continue, and through acclamation, then we will be able to avoid what might have been a very hard argument that would be brought forward by the CAC government to the effect, well, yes, you had the school boards, but hardly anyone ever shows up to vote, so why do you want to keep them anyway? And in that instance, we have, I think, sidestepped that particular issue, at least for the moment. So school boards, then, we'll see a major constitutional, debate continuing all the way, no doubt, to the Supreme Court. But that's one I think we're comfortable with for the moment. I think the other thing that we're probably all going to be very much on pins and needles is what is going to happen with Bill 101. This present government seems firmly determined, despite the COVID situation, where we have heard time and time again that we're going to get through this because we're all going to do it together. And the opening of Bill 101, in many instances in the past, I think, has not necessarily been to protect and nourish the French language, but has been, in fact, ways and means of limiting the use of English and also preventing people from having opportunities to even, in many instances, be able to work in the English language, even if there is a need for the English to be served, especially in the public service. So this is one in which the townshipers is going to be working very closely with QCGN and the other English language groups. And this means that advocacy on part of our community is going to be a big part of the work of the association going into the fall and probably early winter. What doesn't make it easy at all is that given that we seem to be in the second wave, in fact, we never got out of the first wave of the COVID pandemic, and that it will be much more difficult to organize and much more difficult, I think, to make the kind of representation we would like to make. So we're going to be very, very much dependent, I think, on media. That means our newspaper, our radio station, and our ability to use the whole concept and technology around social media to our best interests. And those of us who had to spend a portion of our life on the Zoom know that this means there's going to be a lot more Zooming and a lot less in person. And I think everybody is very much aware that in order to really experience that sense of community, getting together is very, very important. But getting together in a healthy environment where we can protect each other from the virus and is going to be, I think, a natural reaction to the times for some time to come. And it's most unfortunate, but I think this is something that we're going to have to struggle with. And I would imagine that all of those people who have kids in school are doubly concerned about how that's turning out and what's going to be the outcome if schools are closed again. So I think those are really three of the big issues around things. It's the school board, Bill 101, and looking at the impact of the pandemic that it's having on our community and our ability, I think, to be able to have a true social life in which we enjoy each other. And we I think, are all getting better acquainted with social media, but there's still nothing like being able to have a handshake and a hug. And that, I don't think, is going to happen for quite some time.
And the other thing about that, too, is that a fairly large percentage of our population doesn't really necessarily have access to internet or even computers.
That is a big, big problem. I think in terms of looking at that issue that you just raised, if you are out of one of the centers, and if you look at the challenges that you're going to have to face, and I can just imagine what it must be like if you're trying to make the most of homeschooling using your computer or using the technology that might be available if you were just 20 miles down the road and you don't have it. This has been something that's been promised now, I think, for years by various governments, and it's something that we just have to, I think, keep in the back of our minds that, yes, indeed, we can make use of a lot of the technology if and only if the technology is available to us. And that's something that I'm glad you brought up, because At times, I think especially if you're in the Lennoxville or Magog area, then there is a lot more capability in terms of technology at your disposal. But as soon as you start to get further away, and then further away from the schools, it becomes even more of a challenge. That's a really big one too.
I think our population, our community, is particularly touched by that a bit more probably than our French counterparts.
I would have to say yes, because in terms of what may be happening in many of the circumstances, is that with a larger population, then there are always, I think, certain measures that can be put into place, and with larger concentrations of French speakers, it becomes more interesting for service providers also to make available the technology. And in terms of looking at those kinds of issues too, is that we also have to recognize that there's a substantial number of the people who are in the English population are in a category where, because of their age and because of what they may be encountering in terms of not having family around to assist them, that this can be a large part of encountering technological issues, where all it might take is someone to come by and say, yes, well, we can try this or we can try that, and it might work out. But if you don't have that kind of support structure anymore, it can be, I think, quite devastating.
Well, yes, especially with the fact that a lot of our older members of our community don't have family right close by. So that makes it particularly difficult for them. Jerry, do you think that there is, going back to the school boards, do you think that there would be realistically some way to get our community more interested in the affairs of the school board?
Well, I think there are ways. If you look at what happens with the record, I don't think there's a school board meeting that doesn't get almost a full page of coverage, and that gets out to a certain segment of the population. Maybe we could talk about just what's happening, is that right now we're recording something that will be aired on the radio. And I think there are people who might really appreciate if we could find a way and means whereby information about what's happening at the school board could be shared through your media in a way that it might be a way in which people could start to get a sense of what are the issues boiling up over there. What is it that my school board has to confront? And it may be that sense of ownership that we have to get out into the community, that in fact it is our board, and because we elect members to serve our community, then there is a connection there that is one of, first of all, responsibility. And secondly, though, the question you raise is that how do we get people who may not have had kids in school for some time, even their grandkids are now moving beyond that, what interest would there be for this segment of the population? But there are a lot of community activities that actually take place in the schools themselves. However, again, the pandemic is something that puts a big damper on those kinds of things, where the school as a building that has a presence in a community in pre-pandemic times also served in many ways as community center for the surrounding community, and was a place where people could go for different types of activities, different types of courses that are adult oriented and take the stress off having to learn for tests, but can be just for fun. But there are things that we might be able to talk up. There are issues, I think, that might be able to be of concern to people at varying levels of interest, too. There may be some people who are very interested because the school board, in terms of its strategic meaning as an institution in the Constitution, and others just that along the lines of, we see dwindling populations. Does that mean that our school could be gone? And what people have to also recognize is that young families, those people who are actually raising families in our community and want their children educated in an English school, if that school can no longer be kept open, then we see even more of a drain on the community, because many of those families may be faced with, well, do we switch over to the French system, or do we move closer to another English school? And that raises big, big issues around community structure and community vitality. I think if we come at that whole issue of what role can the school boards play in our community, I think most of it will percolate up or percolate down. I'm not sure how percolators work anymore. Most of us probably have a machine that we just press a button. But what it means is that you have to be able to move messages, and you have to be able to move them in such a way that people catch an interest, and the interest has to be one around community vitality. I think that's the key to getting people back looking at the schools and looking at them as being important. And then the management of the school is that if we looked at what's now happening in the French sector, there are service centers, there are director generals who are appointed by the Minister of Education and report to the Minister of Education in many ways, despite the propaganda that was put out of giving more control to communities. So maybe it's a long-winded way of saying, look, we've got to look at our school system from the school board right down to the school building as a fundamental part of the preservation and the nurturing of the vitality of our community.
Well, that's exactly right. And the signs are all there for a possible problem coming down the line with the loss of school boards. It would also be another big sector of our community that is gone to us. We lost, of course, Sherbrooke Hospital quite a while back, and with promises of signage that really never really materialized. And I just wonder at what point the community will have to really stand up and say, well, we've lost enough, and that's what's on all we're going to accept losing.
I think you've pointed to something that is a real problem. I believe what you have to look at is every so often a little history reminder of what has happened to us. Now, the Sherbrooke Hospital is a prime example. The community was promised more and more service, meaning, you know, that there would be greater access to a larger system, and that it would be guaranteed, and that the English population would have no worries. There would, in fact, be always service provided in English. And what that turned out to be, of course, is a promise that was rather short-lived, because a government can, at any point, through legislation, override, overrule, and dismiss good faith promises that were made on behalf of a community by a French community that was quite willing at the time, I think, to make those kinds of concessions and promises. They were wiped out by legislation. And now we have to fight. And I think what happens is that there was a period of time where the English advocacy arm of our community was quite dormant. And there was almost we better keep our heads down, because, you know, there could be even worse legislation passed if we're not going to mind our P's and Q's. And I think what happened there is that we forgot that in many instances, the way in which we secure and maintain our rights, and they're not privileges, they should be clearly identified as rights, is by speaking up. And this doesn't mean we have to be the kind of people who feel that unless you're banging on the desk that you can get things. What it means is that you have to be in a position where You can't allow policy to be made for you. You have to be at the table when policy is being made, and you have to be, as a community then, willing and able to nurture the kind of commitments from members of the community that when it's time to voice our concerns, to stand up for our concerns, to make sure that our concerns are heard and understood, we have to be there. We have to be on the ball in terms of making sure that we have community representation in all levels of government, municipal, provincial, and federal.
I think, Jerry, that's an excellent point you make, and it's a very important one, because it has real-life consequences. For instance, we were just talking about the hospital sector. It's not just the Sherbrooke Hospital. It's been healthcare centers throughout the eastern townships have been affected by language legislation and language restrictions. But that has a real-world consequence to the members of our community, in that our community has demonstrably less health than our French counterparts. That's a real consequence of this, because it seems, according to the information that we have, that English-speaking members of our community who have lived their whole life here, as their parents did, are now feeling less comfortable seeking out health care. And that's a real-world complication, a real problem.
It has to be seen as a major problem. Because what it does also signify in a concrete fashion is that the first message is one of legalities, and you have to have a certain criteria before you can get English service. The other, though, and I think this is where it becomes really, really much more difficult to attack, is that if you are a young person growing up in our community, and the message you get time and time again is that you are just not deserving of services, that's the underlying kind of message that you can easily begin to feel. You walk in and you see that, you know, your parents, and in many instances more the grandparents, that for them to find service in English is really difficult. I think we're doing a much, much better job of making sure that all of the young people who graduate from our educational institutions can be functionally bilingual. But even then, it should not be a question of entitlement. It should be a question of straightforward, we were builders. We, as a community, came, and it didn't make any difference you came from the United States, from the British Kingdom, or you came from a country in which English was your second language, is that if you came and you felt welcomed and you participated and you became a builder, a contributor to society, that means there were roots that were put down, and what we need to have then is a recognition that it's not a question of deserving, it's not a question of whether or not there is enough of a demand. It should be a question of simple, straightforward respect for the contributions of a people to the well-being of the larger community of Quebec and the larger community of the Eastern Townships. We had, I think, established that in previous generations, and I think in terms of what we see now is that there are many young people that don't even bother trying to get service in English. They know they're not going to get it. So the reaction is they switch over into French or they leave. And we have to be realistic. People are still leaving. They're leaving the context within which their family had not just existed, but flourished in many instances for generations. That's sad. And it's sad because There isn't that margin of, and I just say it's a, it has to start with a margin of respect that people who do not come in to a service center and immediately ask in French for services, they ask in English, if nothing else, an appropriate response might have to be, I'm sorry, I don't really have enough English to respond to your question. Please wait just a moment. I'm going to find someone. Or it has to also be, and this is when it burns me every time I even think about it. So you dial up a service center, and there's a very nice, soothing English voice comes on and says, dial 9 for service. Dial 9 for service. You push for service. Someone comes on and speaks to you, comment je peux vous aider? And when you speak English back, then there's they immediately switch over. That should not be happening. That's the lack of respect. Dial 9 for English, you should get English. And it simply means that you are a valued member of this society. I think that's one of the factors that we combat. It's the undertow that we see and feel, is that if we were really valuable, when we see something as simple as a sign that says, you know, emergency, turn right. And we also, I think, have lost that insistence upon when Bill 101 is strictly interpreted in all matters pertaining to health and security, then instructions must be provided in English. And it's being interpreted to be maybe provided in English.
Yeah, depending on the goodwill of the person that you're in front of.
Yes, and that's unfortunate.
It is
that it comes down to a question of whether or not the person you're dealing with has any respect for you. Respect is the respect that we should be getting is that. It's one of, it doesn't make any difference whether you approach me in French or in English. I'm going to treat you with a measure of respect that if I can't deal with you because my English skills aren't up to it, I'll find someone who can. And the institution makes the commitment to ensure that there is always going to be someone available to do just that.
I think
this is something that has to be gotten across, and I think a township has been able to initiate a couple of projects to help people who are on the line who want to learn enough English to be able to serve the clientele that they're serving, and this is something again. You know, whenever we have an opening, we have to push for it as hard as we can.
Yeah, but the other side of that, of course, is the famous thing that we get told all the time, on est au Québec, you should learn to speak French, without trying to understand that for a large segment of our population, the ability to learn French has not been offered to them, either through the fact that when they were growing up and in the ages where they could easily assimilate another language, they weren't exposed to it, and also the fact that now people who arrive in Quebec automatically can have free French courses, but not Anglophones, not the Anglophones who live here in Quebec who were already here. They don't have access to that. We do not have access to that, which I find very strange if you're going to turn around and then criticize someone for not speaking your language.
This is an issue that townshipers has brought up time and time again, and it is one that if you are the immigrant coming in, and you are offered courses, and your neighbor isn't, who grew up here, and you know you're quite right, David. Is that in terms of the way in which Quebec society used to function, it was very much in terms of there was the schools were set up in such a way that they weren't even linguistically based, they were based on religion. And what it was is that essentially the exposure to the other language, the other culture, was one that did not happen as a part of the regular schooling that was undertaken. Whether you were in a French school or an English school, most of what you would encounter, if it was the second language, was taught in many instances by people who struggled with the second language. So there are lots of reasons why people didn't acquire those language skills. The educational institutions simply, as well put, didn't provide it. So it's then at a point in time where you might really need to be able to express yourself in the French language, you don't get even the kind of recognition that should be granted to you. So you just walk into a various agency, wherever it might be, and say, you know, I really need to acquire more French skills to be able to do this or that. And it should be, okay, we're putting together a group, and here's all of the information about how to go about signing up. We get back to something else, too, is that in many instances, that person may live so far out of access to computers and the kind of technology that would permit them to take something online isn't even there either. So there can be a double whammy for someone who wants to learn more French and not being able to get it in ways in which, you know, I think anyone who has access to technology, if you want to learn a second language, whatever it might be, all you do is you go on and you start to shop around online, and first thing you know, you find dozens of different types of courses that will lead you through the acquisition of a second language. If that's not even available to you, well, and you know that the government has to date never agreed that its own citizens are entitled to language training, that's really shameful.
Yes, and the other thing is, I've seen several, well, we deal a lot with students, and I've seen students, very talented people who end up being professionals, who arrive in Quebec and decide that they like the region here in the townships, and they decide to stay. And I see their enthusiasm, and I see them working so hard. They do take French courses because they are allowed them. It's not just the cost, but when you're a student, the cost does matter. So they do have access to them for free. They take them, they work very hard, they learn the language. But then when they start their career here in this province, they find that they still have limitations, even though they've done everything they can to assimilate. So that's very revealing to me when I see that. When I see the enthusiasm go out of their eyes, out of their thinking, I feel very distressed about that.
It is I think something that can cause a great deal of pain to individuals and to families. And I, like you, have had experience with some people who are very dynamic, very, very implicated, love it here. In fact, they've even grown up here, started a career, and found themselves moving up in terms of the ladder. And then, all of a sudden, they hit a wall. And in many instances, what it comes down to is that they're told straight up, straight out, no fuss, no bother, we just can't promote you because. What's the because? It's because you're English, and we're not sure how our clientele might react to that.
Yes, I've actually heard that a lot.
That actually happens.
It does happen.
What's the reaction? they leave.
Yeah.
Most instances, they just pick up and they leave, and they flourish and thrive outside of the province because they bring with them all of that talent and all of that enthusiasm, and they apply it elsewhere.
Yes, exactly.
It is really, I think, a part of, again, we have to get back that there are things that you can legislate, and there are other things that you can't, because it's a part of, I think there has to be a recognition sooner or later that we have, as a society, as a culture, we have some built-in barriers that apply. And I think, you know, we've talked about systemic racism. And I think we also have to raise the issue of another form of systemic discrimination, and that is discrimination that is applied to people who are identified as being, quote, English.
Yes, exactly.
And, yeah.
So I just want to reiterate that we're talking with Jerry Cuddy, the president of Townshippers Association. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. And Jerry, I think we could probably go on for a very long time with this, but I will have to cut it short because we do have another interview coming up. So with that, Jerry, do you have any last words to sum up? Or?
Well, just a couple, and usually it's hard for me to have just a couple, but I'd just like to wish all of the listeners the very best, and that with the assurance that we can get through this together, but what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to make some extra efforts to ensure that we as an English community are heard, that we support those individuals and organizations that are advocating on behalf of us, and that we are, in fact, we are at home. This is our home. We need to enjoy it. We need to have full access to all services, and let's see if how Townshippers can continue to try and do our very best to make sure that we advocate as hard as we can on your behalf.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry. It's been a pleasure talking with you, as always. And I look forward to speaking to you again in the very near future and helping to get the message out over our airwaves about the things that are of concern to our community.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. Have a good day now.
You too, Jerry.